Tell you about a new wrinkle we're going to have in an upcoming TDN podcast sometime in December. Not a lot going on in racing. People are worried about the holidays. That will give us a chance to have you, the listener, the viewer, write to us and ask us questions. Anything you want to know, anything Randy Moss you want to know from him or Zoe Gadman or, of course, myself, we'd be more than glad to answer the questions. And we hope to make a nice segment on this show. It'll likely air in December. So if you have questions, you can send them now. You can send them in a couple of weeks. Write to Sue Finley, F-I-N-L-E-Y, at thetdn.com. Once again, that's Sue Finley, all one word, at thetdn.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
You said new wrinkle. None of us need any new wrinkles.
I have a question for Zoe.
Okay.
Why did you replace your Burt Reynolds picture with what appears to be the picture of a horse in the background?
Well, I was moving Burt for Sue because it's Breeders' Cup and she hates Burt Reynolds. So I moved him from my piano, but you can only see the piano on a single shot and we're all like slotted in. So Okay. Actually... Bird's got prime viewing there right now. You were supposed to be looking at myself and Arrogate at the Dubai World Cup. So that's me about ready to interview Mike Smith. Like, what the hell happened at the start, Mike? But well done for winning. So that's what's over here.
What a pick. That's amazing.
Yeah.
As you might expect, it's going to be a Breeders' Cup edition as myself, Randy Moss, and Zoe Cabin, we're going to do some insta-handicapping, see how many winners we can give out on the show. And then in a little bit later, you're going to hear from Jerry Bailey, Randy's partner on the broadcast, and of course, one of the greatest jockeys that ever lived and knows an awful lot about the Breeders' Cup. All right, let's start with Friday. Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint. This race is an impossibility. It's just pure guesswork, if you ask me. With all the horses coming in from foreign places, you have horses shipping in from all over, from England, Ireland, France, etc. I am going to go for Whistle Jacket for Aidan P. O'Brien. Last time out, he was second in the Middle Park Stakes at 4-5. But the horse that beat him that day, Shadow of Light, came back and won the Darley Dewhurst. He's a legitimate grade one horse. He won the grade one Prix de Mornay. I think he's got the class. Ryan Moore certainly knows how to get it done when it comes to the Breeders' Cup. So I hope to start off my Breeders' Cup day with a winner in Whistle Jacket.
All right. This is not an impossibility, Bill. This is a free bingo square.
Wow.
The Japanese sent 19 horses to the Breeders' Cup. A lot of them are overmatched. Some of them look in really good spots. Ikoro Sig is a freaking rocket ship. You watch the videos of this horse. This horse can fly. And in his last race, he ran the fastest 6 furlongs in the history of the Japan Racing Association on turf, and he didn't break. And he still went a half in 43 and change from a standing start. They opened up like 8 lengths on the rest of the field, he and another horse, and he kept running. He's 2 for 2. He is a very fast horse. And I think he'll lead from start to finish. And to me, he's a single.
Wow. I love that.
Can I change my pick? There. Randy talked me into it.
Yeah, right? Ikoro Sig. I like that horse. I like him a little bit better now. Thank you very much for that insight there, Randy. But I did pick Whistle Jacket on top. My biggest question was, is he as quick as the rest? And after listening to Randy, maybe not. I mean, Asterius is a very nice horse for Archie Watson coming off back-to-back wins. He's quick. He makes all in his races over there. That's probably going to put him about third or fourth, but he's well drawn with James Doyle. So watch out for him. But I think Randy's already winning there. It's 1 for Randy, 0 for us thus far already. Let's move on.
All right. Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. The morning line favorite is Scottish Lassie on the outside. But I'm going to go with Immersive, who I think actually might be the favorite in here. Brad Cox is so hot right now. This is a very legitimate horse. Two straight grade one victories. Has already won at the mile and a 16th distance in the Alcibiades. Obviously a very talented horse. Manny Franco doesn't get many opportunities in Breeders' Cups. He's 1 for 26 lifetime, but he's a hell of a good jockey, and I don't think that's going to be a problem.
Come on, Randy. I want to know all about American Bikini. Are we going thong or are we going, you know, what kind of bikini are we looking at here?
You know, I've been saying, Zoe, that the Japanese, you know, they may, maybe they win two races. Maybe they win three at the Breeders' Cup. Who knows? And then maybe they might win the first two, because American Bikini is a really, really nice filly. But here's my problem. My only problem with American Bikini. She's run three times. She's won twice. Both of her wins were when she set the pace. And the race she lost was when she didn't set the pace. Vodka with a Twist is going to go from the inside with Irad Ortiz. That's speed. Non-compliant will be close. That's Baffert. Nooney, the other Baffert horse. Speed. American Bikini. Speed. I think you're looking at a very fast pace in here. So I'm going to play American Bikini in exotics, but I'm looking for a closer in here. So I'm going to take a shot with the 10-1 horse, Quick Kick. I know the Big Fig from Scottish Lassie is tempting, but Quick Kick beat Scottish Lassie when they ran in a maiden race at Saratoga. And I think the race sets up for her, and she's a good price.
Dylan Davis is riding Lights Out. She got a 6.5 on the Thorograph. I can't get my glasses straight. I thought I was looking smarter. Now I just look drunk because they're wonky and it's first thing in the morning. I like Quick Kick. I'm going with the favorite in here, Scottish Lassie. I've loved her since her debut. Sky's the limit for her with Jorge Abruja. We've seen the McKinsey, the stock of McKinsey, just get better and better. She's well drawn, 3.5 on the Thorograph. Hopefully that's not too quick for her. American Bikini, I will say one thing, has looked terrific training over the track at Del Mar. So that's a big one.
Let's move on now to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf. And the 8-5 favorite is Lake Victoria. I'm going to go with the favorite here for Aidan O'Brien. Again, a class angle. This horse has won two consecutive Group 1 races. Now, one thing that you have to know about this horse is it's never gone beyond 7 furlongs. This race is a mile. But the European horses that are running close to the distances of the race never seem to have any problem stretching out. I think Aidan O'Brien's going to have a huge Breeders' Cup along with Ryan Moore. It's interesting, though, that you would think this race would be dominated by the Europeans. The U.S.-based horses have won 9 of the last 10. I think that's going to change with Lake Victoria.
Ooh, I mean, Lake Victoria is the one to beat on paper. She's well-drawn. You're getting Ryan Moore. What do they won? 13 of 17. Cynthian is interesting for me. She comes in with good numbers for trainer Billy Mott. Thought process. She's very good. She's California-based. Is she good enough is my big... She's got to make a big jump forward, but she's trained really, really well. So I think she'll be my top pick over the Aidan O'Briens because I think she's going to get the jump. And then if you want a long shot in there, throw in the 13, Vixen, for trainer Mark Cassie. She comes out of a sneaky good race last out.
Two fascinating rabbit hole stats in here for me. First of all, out of the last 15 Breeders' Cup races on turf at a mile or longer, European-based horses or Japanese have won 13. The only two exceptions were in this race, where Americans, as Bill pointed out, have been dominating as of late. The other interesting rabbit hole stat, two-year-old turf horses at the Breeders' Cup who made their most recent starts in California are 0 for 58.
Woo, Lordy.
Complete throwouts. But, you know, I'm scratching my head here because visually Thought Process looks as good in her races as anybody else. So, you know, I think this is a really solid exacta, Lake Victoria and Thought Process. The thing about Lake Victoria, watching all these European races, looking at all the European form, you see all these two-year-old fillies who run really well in Europe. They run really well in group twos and group threes, and oh, they're nice. And then all of a sudden they get beat seven lengths by Lake Victoria. I've seen that like four or five times. So obviously Lake Victoria, she's the early favorite right now for the 1,000 guineas. She's probably going to be voted the champion two-year-old filly in Europe. We don't often get those over here to run in the Breeders' Cup. I love her post-draw. Ryan Moore says there's no problem with 1 mile. So I like Lake Victoria over Thought Process in a dead solid exacta.
Let's move on now to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, which is the ninth race on the Friday card at Del Mar. Bob Baffert has won this race five times, but Todd Pletcher has won the last two. This is such an obvious pick. I'm wasting time, you know, telling people why, because it's obvious. East Avenue was a very, very talented horse. Randy was talking about watching the replays of that Japanese horse. Look back at the replay of his win in the Breeders' Futurity. He was just so dominant over that field. I like the fact that he drew the one post. I think that's going to help him. Tyler Gaffalione can either go to the lead or just take a look, and if he has to, sit back. This is a nice field. Chancellor McPatrick is the other horse, obviously, that's going to take a lot of money. I just have a personal prejudice against horses that come from so far behind, because so many things can go wrong. And it's not that he breaks badly. In the last race in the Champagne, he broke on top, and then it's like he took himself back. So he's an interesting horse. Chad Brown is very high on him. But I think East Avenue is going to win this, and I think we'll still be talking a lot about him come March, April, and May next year.
Yeah. Hey, the problem with Chancellor McPatrick is not just that there's so much that he has to overcome from back in the pack. It's that he is now running on the second shortest stretch run of any major racetrack in America. Only Gulfstream Park has a shorter stretch run than Del Mar. And Chancellor McPatrick has been either last or next to last early in all of his races so far. I say all of them, all three of them. Look, East Avenue draws the rail. I think for a horse with his running style, that's good. What's interesting in here to me is, anyone going to try to hook him? They know he's the favorite. They know he's been in front every step without challenges in each of his two races. Bob Baffert has horses in here that have a lot of speed. Getaway Car has a tremendous amount of speed. They tried to raid him last time behind Citizen Bull, and it didn't really work. I think he's probably going to be a better horse around one turn. But might they decide that really the only way he can win and the only way to beat East Avenue is to go after him early? Now, Brendan Walsh says that East Avenue doesn't have to be in front. All trainers say that. That's the potential Achilles heel, I think, for East Avenue. But, you know, an East Avenue Jonathan's Way exacta, one way or the other, I think is pretty good in here, just because Chancellor McPatrick is going to be, I think, compromised by the short stretch.
Jonathan's Way is the real deal. Having seen him in person at Saratoga, he looks like a man amongst boys. Now, I know East Avenue does as well. There's a ton of speed in here for East Avenue, and they are going to be gunning for him. Citizen Bull's going to go as well. Jonathan's Way does not need the lead. He showed that in his debut, overcoming an awful lot. So I like him. I do like East Avenue. Chancellor McPatrick, watching him train at Del Mar, he's just a little bit sharper than I've seen him, because I watched him all summer at Saratoga. Last time he broke with the gate. He broke with everybody else and took himself back. I think incrementally, each time this horse runs, he's going to gradually find himself a little bit closer. I'm taking Chancellor McPatrick on top. I don't care about the 919 feet stretch. Santa Anita is 990. It's 919 here. I'm trusting in Pratt and going Chancellor McPatrick, but it's going to be a very, very good race.
10th race, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. Unlike the Juvenile Fillies Turf, this one has been dominated by Europeans. 17 runnings, only four have been won by U.S.-based horses over that course of time. But I'm going to take a U.S.-based horse here. A little bit of a wise guy play, I suppose, but I'll give Menti a chance, the full brother to Fierceness. The one race he ran bad in was the Hopeful, and then he came right back and rebounded in the Futurity, winning at 6 furlongs, got a good thoroughbred figure, got a good buyer figure. Question is whether or not he can stretch out from 6 furlongs to a mile 16th, but his big brother certainly doesn't have any problem running at a distance, so you would think that he wouldn't either. New Century is the European to beat, I think, after that very nice win and then Summer Stakes at Woodbine, where he got out of the gate kind of slow and had a bad trip. But I'll go with Menti as a price play.
Okay, then we'll go ladies first in here. I like your pick, Menti. Yes, he ran a six on the Thoroughgrass. He's yet to stretch out. He's not going to be on one of my picks, but I can't talk you off him. Listen, New Century is the horse to beat. His race at Woodbine was eye-catching. Alcudra, Dream On, they're both in here, so they're all with the chance. But he absolutely ran off and hid last time out. We mentioned that Euros have got a great, even better than the fillies, 13 of 17 in this race. So he's without question the horse to beat in here, even though Chad Brown has Zulu Kingdom. Is that his name? He's got him in here. He's a little low on numbers, but the class is there. So I have a big question mark by him. I have a long shot for you. Satano Carnival, a two-year-old colt by Kitazan Black. If you watched his debut where he won by seven, he absolutely ran off and hid. He can go left-handed. He can go right-handed. He's got a decent enough figure on Thoroughgraph. He brings in Rachel King, who's an English girl. She's been riding over there in Japan. She sat on him for the first time on the turf course the other day, and he looked really good. He draws the one hole, which I have no problem with. And he's 20 to 1 in the morning line, which I absolutely love. So it's going to be between the favorite and Santono Carnival.
Zoe picks a Japanese horse, and I don't. Wow. Unusual. So look, I was torn before the draw between obviously New Century and Alcudra, who ran so well in the Summer Stakes. And Alcudra beat New Century before they came to Woodbine. And then Andre Matisse, who I thought, might have been better than either of those two just based on European form. So then a couple things happen at the draw. Andre Matisse draws post 13, which in this race is a real, real difficult post to overcome. But then the real head scratcher for me is that William Buick, who had ridden Alcudra in his last four races and also had ridden Amore City in his last three, chose to ride Amore City instead of Alcudra. Now, I'm guessing he had his choice. I don't know that for a fact. But normally, when he's been riding two different horses, Charlie Appleby will let William take his pick of the two that he wants to ride. And for the life of me, I can't figure out why he thinks Amore City at 10-1 has a better shot than Alcudra at 4-1. But clearly, he does. So that lowers Alcudra a little bit, in my opinion. So I like New Century. I love the way he ran. I'm with Zoe. I love the way he ran in the Summer Stakes at Woodbine. Good number. And I think he's clicking on all cylinders right now.
The TDN Writers' Room is brought to you by Keeneland, who saw 58 of its graduates entered into the Breeders' Cup just the other day. We are just a week away from the Keeneland November sale that promises to be electric. Just look at a few of these mares appearing in TDN ads next week. Grade 1 stakes winner, Beauté Cachet, was the winner of the Grade 1 Jenny Wiley at Keeneland. We have Roses for Deborah, who was a stakes winner at ages 3, 4, and 5. And we also have a complete dispersal of Sienna Farms breeding stock after the very sad loss of Anthony Manganero. What a great guy he was. The complete dispersal of the breeding stock of Stuart Janney as well. It all gets started on November the 5th. We'll be right back after this message from Keeneland.
Looking for bloodstock that shapes the world? You can find it here. Foundation mares that will shape the breed. Weanlings with prime potential. Your next moment in the winner's circle. It's all waiting for you here at the World's Marketplace. Keeneland November Breeding Stock Sale, where the future is found. Beginning Tuesday, November 5th.
This week's Fastest Horse of the Week, as always, brought to you by the Fast Sires at Windstar Farm, and specifically this week, a sire that has had Breeders' Cup success. That would be the fastest son of Into Mischief, Life Is Good, the winner of the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile just 3 years ago this week here at Del Mar by 5.5 lengths, the biggest margin at that Breeders' Cup in 2021. Got a 1:12 buyer speed figure. And oh, by the way, he comes back and he sets the pace in the Breeders' Cup Classic the next year, which was Flightline's Breeders' Cup Classic. And his first foals are looking pretty good, too. They'll be on offer at Phasic Tipton and Keeneland November. And based on the sales of his end foal mares last year, which went for up to $1.2 million, those will be in demand. Three-time Grade 1 winner, Life is Good, stands at Windstar for a fee of $75,000. Fastest horse of the week with all the really top-notch names preparing for the Breeders' Cup. A couple of horses that we haven't talked about yet before. A tie, actually, with buyer speed figures of 99. First of all, Tarantino, who won an allowance race at Santa Anita October the 26th. An original yearling purchase by the Avengers and formerly trained by Bob Baffert. Then he bounced around a little bit. Rudy Brissett sold a couple of times. He wins that allowance race at 13-1 odds for his new trainer, Peter Erton, who claimed him for David Bernstein Rockingham Ranch back in July at Del Mar for $40,000. The other one, Determined Kingdom. Only at Keeneland will a race fill that's for non-winners of four other than allowance race at Keeneland the day before on October 25th, Determined Kingdom. At 5.5 on the turf, won it by 2.5 lengths, matching that 99 buyer speed picker. Co, fastest horses of the week. This week's guest of the week, none other than my NBC broadcast partner. 10 minutes ago, we were sitting back in a room in this trailer at Del Mar together, debating the merits of City of Troy, and now Jerry Bailey has taken a spot. We thought it would be better to separate. Jerry Bailey's taken a spot, obviously, in front of the scenic racetrack at Del Mar. So, Jerry, let's continue the conversation we were just having 10 minutes ago. Probably the number one storyline of this entire Breeders' Cup is City of Troy coming to the Classic, running on dirt for the first time as the 5-2 program favorite. What are your thoughts?
So thank you for having me, first of all. And I was more convinced about City of Troy's chances in the Classic this year before I saw him this morning. He's still a good-looking horse, but he's more feminine than I thought he would be, more long and lanky, more turfy, if you will, if I can use that word, turfy. He's built like a turf horse. So it kind of still begs the question, how effective can he be on dirt versus how effective he has been all of his life on the turf? That's my biggest question.
Have you been listening to Randy for the last 2 weeks? You said you've been sitting right next to him. Now you sound like Randy. Yeah, you're killing me, Jerry.
believe me, I love the horse. I think it's a great story, and I would love to see him win. But I think the biggest question anybody has, and it wasn't really taken from my mind after seeing him, is will he dirt?
I didn't make it down to Del Mar this morning, but on watching him canter around there, it was pretty obvious watching him go down the lane. He was on his left lead and you could just see that high turfy action. I do still like him in the Classic, but I can definitely see what you saw out there seeing him in the flesh. I still want to touch him. I just want to touch him. Did you touch him?
I did not. I was sitting in the grandstand here watching him go by.
Is anyone planning on touching him? Randy, are you going to touch him?
Jerry's hand would have gotten wet if he had touched him this morning.
He got kind of hot. He was kind of hot this morning. And it's a cool morning. I mean, listen, I'm freezing. It's 20 degrees colder than my usual climate. So look, I think if he can pull this off and win it, he becomes a horse of the decades, really, yeah, of the ages. And I don't think there's a lot of downside. He's still a great horse with a great list of accomplishments on the turf. So it's a lot of blue sky for Coolmore. And if they can pull it off, they've done something spectacular.
Jerry, that's one of the things about this Breeders' Cup Classic. There's so many mystery horses and in the Breeders' Cup as a whole. And I don't know how, if you've had a lot of time or effort put into watching the Japanese horses, but I was going down picking, I don't know how to pick these horses. I just, you know, I have no idea. Randy's a big Derma Sotogaki fan. He's the only one I definitely don't like this year. But do you have some sense of feeling of how they're going to do? I think it's going to be one extreme or the other. They're going to clean our clock or they're not going to do a thing.
I actually think it's going to be both. I think there's some races where they're probably overmatched, but I think there's some races where they look pretty strong. And how can I not have a little sense of how they're going to do, not conferring with Masan for the last 2 weeks and watching Japanese videos, courtesy of Randy, because he's tuned into these Japanese videos. So, yeah, I've seen a lot of them, and I think there's several of them that have an excellent chance.
What was interesting, guys, I've been sort of having fun with people saying, okay, I'm going to set the over-under for wins by Japanese horses at the Breeders' Cup. I'll set it at 1.5. So tell me if you would go over or under. And I did that with an NBC Peacock gambling podcast earlier this morning. And the guy is a football bettor, but he gets on his computer, right? And he said, the prop is 2.5. That's the over-under right now in Vegas or maybe in the UK. I don't know what he was looking at exactly for wins by Japan in the Breeders' Cup. So, yeah, Jerry and I have been perusing all of these Japanese videos. We have to turn down the volume because the Japanese race calls get a little bit annoying. But, but yeah, it's been pretty remarkable.
So, Jerry, what's your favorite thing to do when you come to these big meetings? Because you and Randy are like the dynamic duo. It's honestly, it's really fun to look, but what's one of the favorite things that you get to do specifically with Randy? I mean, does he lead you down the rabbit hole? Does he drag you with him? Does he put you on his shoulder? Or do you just like going out and seeing all the trainers and the horses?
No, the trainers, seeing them are fun and the horses, but it is so time consuming and you don't get a lot of work done because everybody's saying hello and it's this story. And it's just, we're distracted by so many different people so many times that most of the real work is done back in the trailer or before we get here, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how.
There's no way to sit next to Randy and not be sucked into a little bit of a rabbit hole. It's when he goes silent for like 4 minutes, I have to look over and say, I don't know what he's doing, but he's way down there.
So you got the infamous Randy Moss rabbit holes to deal with as well as we do. Hey, Jerry, I want to ask you now, get some historical things about your riding career and riding in the Breeders' Cup. Is there any one Breeders' Cup race where you look back and you talk to your children and maybe your grandchildren someday, say, you know what, I made the difference in that race? Is there any one that you look, for instance, most proud of and that you don't think the horse would have won if another rider was riding?
Yeah. I think it's probably Six Perfections in the mile. I remember I asked Pascal Berry, I said, I just want to know one thing, because she had drawn post 12. And I asked Pascal Berry, I said, is her first step from the gate decent? And if I ask her leaving the gate, can I turn her back off again and get her to relax during the middle part of the race? And he said, yeah, no problem. She'll break quick enough and you can do what you want early and she'll still relax for you. And I said, that's all I need to know. And my good friend Gary Young, after they drew, called and said, I'm sorry. He calls me Beetle Bailey. He has for 30 years. He said, Beetle, I'm sorry about your post. I said, don't feel bad for me. Feel bad for the guy inside me because I'm going to shut him off the first jump to get over and save some ground.
Jerry and I, obviously, I mean, we couldn't do this job, really, if we weren't good friends because we sit next to we go to Starbucks in the morning together in the same car. And then we sit in the trailer for hours and hours and hours together all day long, going over all these horses and watching videos and talking to people on the phone and going to the backside, you know, and then meetings and then the show. And they call us Bert and Ernie at NBC because we're always right there together. He's more Bert and I'm more Ernie. So I've heard a lot of the stories and probably the one that I enjoy the most is the Arkong story. First of all, getting the mount on Arkong is kind of interesting because of one horse that sort of keeps popping up in Jerry Bailey's background and a horse that you never even rode. Tell us about how you got the mount.
Yes. So many people ask me who my favorite horse is, and everybody assumes it's Cigar. It's Devil Is Due, because Mike Smith was on Devil Is Due throughout most of his career. And before the Arkong race, the classic of 93, he had the call on Arkong. And Alan Jerkins at the last, I won't say last moment, but the last week decided he was going to run Devil Is Due. So Mike had to ride him. It left Arkong for me. And we know the result. He won at 133-1. And Mike was also riding Cigar in going to the Naira Mile. And Alan decided to run Devil Is Due in that race. So Mike had to ride him and left Cigar for me. So because of Devil Is Due, Jerry Bailey got Arkong in the classic and Cigar. So and he may be my favorite horse.
So Arkong on Breeders' Cup Classic Day.
So I was always a student of the past performances and video. I really didn't think I was quite as physically gifted as some of my contemporaries, Angel and Lafitte and guys like that. But I thought I could out-prepare them and outthink them in a race. So I was heavily dependent on, PPs and video, and of which there were really none on Arkong. At that time, you couldn't get videos. And it only had a tagline on the racing form, like back early and finished well late, stuff like that. Nothing in the middle of the race. So I thought, listen, I'll just ask Andre Fab, the trainer, exactly where he wants to be, where he's most comfortable, and how much of a pace I can ask him to keep during the middle of the race. And when I walked into the paddock, there's like 1,000 people in there at Santa Anita, and you can't find anybody. So I couldn't find him. And I was kind of beginning to panic a little bit, and I thought, I'll just go to the horse. I'll ask the assistant or the groom, the questions I need answered. And so I get there and I'm asking them all these questions and they speak nothing but French. So I don't know Jack about this horse when I'm getting on him. And we go around the ring and head for the tunnel. And all of a sudden I hear the trainer, Fab, say, Jerry. And I said, oh, great. I can ask him, what I need to ask him. He said, good luck. That's all he said. So I was pretty much flying blind as I walked on the track and saw 99-1 on the tote board. And I thought, he said, the European horse, I'll take him back to the back, try and save some ground and just finish enough to where I'm not embarrassed. And that was exactly my mind thought going into the gate.
Jerry, for this year's classic, if Magic Wand allowed you to come back, get out of retirement and ride one horse in the classic this year, who would you pick?
I think one of the most interesting horses to me is Arthur's Ride.
Mm.
I think he's a very quality horse when he can be comfortable on the lead. And I think he might have a comfortable lead this year. With Skippy Longstockings going to the mile, Dornock leaving the picture a month ago, I think it leaves really the speed of the race to Arthur's Ride. And I don't think anybody coming off of that poor performance in the Jockey Club Gold Cup at Saratoga, I don't think anybody with the early speed to challenge him will really want to, thinking he may not be a threat. And I think he gets a comfortable lead. I mean, obviously, he's a bit of a long shot, but look at Fierceness. If he doesn't break well, people think he's over all those shenanigans. I'm not convinced of it. If things go wrong early for him, maybe he doesn't show up again. City of Troy's got a really poor post for a horse that has that many questions with dirt and traffic. The Japanese horse, Forever Young, I like him, but he's going to navigate through a lot of traffic too. So I would pick the horse that I think it's the most friendly trip with quality, and that's Arthur's Ride.
Is he going to be your pick?
I don't know yet. Zoe, we still got 4 days. A lot of stuff can happen in 30 seconds around the track. You know that.
All right, I have a question. What is the one place, I don't really want to ask you about a race that you haven't won because you've won pretty much everything, but what's one place that maybe you wish you had ridden at or would like to now if you could go back in time to ride a race? It could be anywhere in the world.
Yeah, I would like to have ridden the Arc.
Really?
To me, yeah. I mean, if I look back at my statistics, I'm much more successful on the dirt than the grass, but I think I felt more comfortable on the grass. I felt that things came easier to me in grass races than dirt races. And that's one race that, and it was always on a big weekend here, and I never had the option to ride a decent chanced horse in the race. So yeah, that would be it for me.
If you weren't sitting next to Randy every other weekend doing NBC, what would you be doing?
Oh, did that's easy. I'd be playing golf.
Golf. Oh, okay. I can answer that for him. He won't gamble on the horses, or at least not very much. We gamble occasionally, but you know.
Are you a good golfer now?
I'm a 6 handicap right now. I've been as low as a 4. But it comes and goes, so it's depends on the week and the month.
Long game. Now,
you say
game?
You don't gamble, but we've seen all these broadcasts where you and Randy have these side bets.
Oh, yeah. Right.
For you know, for whatever the prize is, like a Coca-Cola or something like that.
Does he pay you? Because I'm still waiting.
Well, I've still got his dollar in my Apple Pay because I don't use Apple Pay, so that dollar of Randy's is still in there. But he's probably for a long time we were really close. I think he's probably slightly ahead at this point. But if in terms of dollars, it wouldn't be more than 20, I'll guarantee you.
I tried paying him with a ruble one time. it didn't go over very well. it was right after the Sochi Olympics. I tried to pay him in a ruble. No.
You know, Joey, you said your day hasn't started really well. Your week's not going great. I got here yesterday to find the Starbucks near us is closed. It's something else now. So my week has not started out very good at all. It's the high class problems that we have.
Well, it's only going to get better from here. And you've made me smile for the first time today, which is awesome.
Before we started riding together in the mornings to the racetrack, Jerry and I used to drive separately. And there he goes.
I told you it could go at any moment.
He's really trying to make me make my day there. It just dropped right into his lap.
Okay, I'm going to hold it. Are we good now?
Yeah,
good now. So if there was a time when we would drive to Starbucks separately, and the most fun part was the drive from downtown Baltimore up to the Starbucks close to Pimlico, because it's kind of like if you've ever driven that highway, whatever that interstate is going north, it's like a race car thing, right? There's the and all that. And so we would famously race to Starbucks, and we'd be going 85, 90, racing each other, swerving through traffic. And the deal was whoever won got to buy, because Jerry can't stand for anybody to pay for anything for him, right? He always he always wants to be the one to pay. He doesn't want anybody to pay for him. And so when I beat him to Starbucks, I would get to go up to the counter at Starbucks and say, I've got his coffee. He's a little down on his luck right now. You know, he's not doing too good. Jerry, don't worry. I got your coffee. And we've had a lot of fun over the years with all kinds of things.
Who rode the better race on the drive up the freeway? Did you?
I will tell you, Zoe, I will tell you right now that if Randy was a lot smaller, he would have been a really good jockey. He drives like a madman.
we don't want the authorities to know about that.
Jerry, before we let you go, we got to touch on Cigar. And it's got to be one of your greatest Breeders' Cup moments that in the year he won in 95, and then one of the biggest disappointments in 96. What was, when he was third, what was the difference between the 96 Cigar and the 95 Cigar?
Probably the miles on him. You know, he didn't miss too many chances. And Alan Paulson, his owner, was a very sporting guy, and he didn't hesitate to take on any risk, any challenge. His philosophy, I can remember, he told me, he said, Jerry, it's all risk reward with me. If the reward's great enough, we're going to take the risk. And he bounced around Hollywood Park, back to Boston, to Dubai, Chicago. I mean, he crisscrossed this country and crisscrossed the world. So I believe in the Pacific Classic at Del Mar, look, a lot of that was my fault. I asked him to go too fast. I was afraid to get trapped in behind Siphon, who had just beat another Paulson horse, Jerry, at Hollywood. But I asked him to go pretty fast in that race early, but he didn't want to go in the gate in that race. And he had never done that before. So I could tell something was a little bit different, a little bit off. And I just think, you know, the amount of miles, you know, the accumulated. So I give a horse like Tisnell a lot of credit. Maybe he didn't take on the challenge that Cigar did, but he won back to back, which is really hard to do.
Jerry Bailey, thank you so much for giving us a few minutes of your time in this busy week. It's always fun to go down memory lane with you. And keep an eye on this Randy guy. I tell you, he's him and his rabbit holes. We love him and we hate him. So
just get him carrots for Christmas. That's all.
Okay. Right. All right, Jerry, thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
TD and Rider's Room also brought to you, as always, by the PHBA, the Pennsylvania Horse Breeders Association. So you're wondering why you should invest in Pennsylvania. Well, here's another example. The two-year-old, the Boy's Warrior, Pennsylvania sired and Pennsylvania bred. He's bred and owned by Warriors Reward, LLC. And in his last two races, the Boy's Warrior won a Pennsylvania Sired Stakes and a regular Pennsylvania Bred Stakes. His owner and breeder took home purse money for those two races of $118,200, plus an additional $47,000 plus in breeders' awards. And Warriors Reward LLC, of course, also owned the stallion Warriors Reward, and they earned an additional $11,820 for that. Add that all up, $177,000. $300. That's not bad. If you want a piece of that action, breed in Pennsylvania. Go to pabred.com or give them a call at 610-444-1050.
PA Bred, I think we've built a brand at this point.
It's excitement at every step.
Roses for Deborah just set a new track record.
On average, for the past decade, Pennsylvania paid over $28 million a year in breeders' awards, restricted races, and owner bonuses. Plus, PA Bred shine on the world's biggest stage. Just three states have bred more Breeders' Cup winners. Learn more at pabred.com.
Now, as you guys all know, I pride myself in knowing horse flesh. Best horse, best looking horse always wins, right? What about the wiener dog races? Let's see if I can pick the winner of the wiener dog races in this week's edition of First Things First. I start off with the post parade. Okay, this is the field. What's your name?
Rowdy.
Rowdy.
Mika.
Mika. Who's this little fella?
Ocha.
Ocha. Hello, who are you?
That's Abby. Oh, she's got a lot to say.
Who's this little guy?
Noodle.
Noodle. Hi, Noodle. And who's this?
Stout.
Stout. Hi, Stout. This is Spitestown right here. What's his name?
Chorizo.
Chorizo, aka Spitestown. And this is?
Chewy.
Hi, Chewy.
Chewbacca?
Yeah. Hi, Chewy. All right, good luck, guys.
And they're off. And right to the front, it's Chorizo. On the outside, here comes Stout, and a late surge by Chewy. But it looks like it was Chorizo, the spicy.
Well, it was Chorizo who got the photo finish here in the Halloweener Fest race. What were you guys' names?
Vanessa.
Francisco.
Was this his first time racing today?
Second
time, yeah.
Has he won like that before?
No, this is his first time winning.
It looked like he was really looking for you. He really loves his mom, that's for sure.
Yes, he does.
Did you guys have a great time today?
We definitely did. Yeah, it was a good day for us.
Good job, Chorizo! Congratulations, guys.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
And who'd have thought it? It was Chorizo, who looked just like the late, great Spitestown. I called it early, guys. I really did. Chorizo just came and looked like Spitestown, straight as a string all the way down the lane, and got the Halloweeny Fest wiener dog race. Did go to Chorizo. You missed it. But you can catch it again, because we'll be back at Santa Anita the day after Christmas. That is the best present you can open, October 26th. December 26th. What am I thinking? We've already missed October 26th. It's Boxing Day.
Mm-hmm. You can never- Randy, did you make figures on the wiener dog race?
But I know Zoe can never tease me again about going down a rabbit hole when she compares a wiener dog to Spitestown.
Oh, yeah, he was like this. He looked just like Spitestown. We called it before they went in the gate. The fix was in.
All right, we move on now to the Saturday Breeders' Cup card. It starts with race four at Del Mar, Breeders' Cup Filly and Mayor Sprint. And to me, on paper, it looked like a two-horse race between Society and Ways and Means. I could have gone either direction. At the end of the day, I decided to go with Ways and Means. She was just looked like she was going to be a phenomenal prospect for Chad Brown. And she ran poorly in the Kentucky Oaks. And it took him a while to obviously get her back later off. And she's done nothing wrong since then. Wins an allowance race, wins the test, beats older horses in the Gallant Bloom for Chad Brown and Flavian Pratt. And I also think, the speed is going to be Society, no doubt about that. But, you know, is somebody going to keep her honest early? And I think it could be Ways and Means. I don't think she's going to let Society get too far away from her. Society has had this will be her third run in the Breeders' Cup. She was fourth in this race last year. And in 2022, she was seventh in the Breeders' Cup Distaff. So she's got a little bit of negative voodoo on her when it comes to the Breeders' Cup.
Well, Go ahead, Randy.
It's tempting to say that Ways and Means would be a single because she just looks so dominant in her last three wins. But she beat five horse fields in her last two in the test and the Gallant Bloom. I don't know how much really was behind her in those two races. And there's a lot behind her here, not just Society, but Vava, who's extremely consistent. Scylla, who I think is much better around one turn than two turns. Even Pleasant. Right. I mean, I don't think Pleasant is without a shot to run well and hit the board at 12-1 for Bob Baffert. So I do not think this is a layup at all for Ways and Means. She might be the most likely winner percentage wise. So I'm going to take a shot here and I'm going to pick Vava. I mean, Vava is remarkably consistent. She almost always runs her race, and that's good enough for me here at a decent price.
It's the last time I let you go first. All right. I like Vava on top purely off her most recent work. It was absolutely eye-popping at Keeneland. Pull it up and take a look at it. I know she usually works good, but I've never seen her look that good. She comes in with good numbers. She's got the right style for me. While I like Society, she's a one-trick pony and she has to go. And let us not forget, this is a tricky distance. It's a specialist distance. If you go too quick, you're screwed. And sometimes she goes too quick and sometimes she gets left alone. So she could win without me. That's the six Society. I've always loved Ways and Means, but I mean, Nick Style, Sterling Silver, Emery, My Main Squeeze, they don't really jump off the page to me. I know you can only beat who you can beat. She was definitely aided by a sloppy track that day. So I'm going Vava with Randy. Watch out for Scylla. Mike Smith was without a mount going into the entry box. The winningest jockey in Breeders' Cup history was without a mount. I believe this may be his lone mount. 10-1 on Scylla. She's going to run a blinder.
Race five is the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. One of the biggest favorites of the day is going to be in this race, Cogburn, 7-5 in the morning line for Steve Aspie. And a very obvious horse to pick. I mean, he's really, really fast and he's in great form right now. But just because I don't want to give out another 6-5 shot or something, I'm going to take a shot with Brad Sell on the outside for Archie Watson and Holly Doyle. And if you look at this horse from a class standpoint, he's been running against the very best horses over there in grade one competition. Even last time out when he was beaten in the Prix de Bay at Longchamp, he ran a nice race at 7-5. He's a type of horse that, and he also has some early speed, which I like as well. I think he'll be near the pace set by Cogburn, and hopefully young Mrs. Doyle can get her home for me, or get him home for me.
Okay, I can't argue with your pick. Cogburn is most definitely the horse to beat, but there is a stat going into the Breeders' Cup about runners coming out of Kentucky Downs. I do believe they are 0 for 32, might be 0 for 35, having won their last race at Kentucky Downs and going into the Breeders' Cup for the last few years. So he has that against him. He's definitely the best horse. He's well drawn on the outside, numbers wise. It's going to be extremely hard to beat Cogburn in here for trainer Steve Asmussen. I do like Big Evs, though, as well. And he's a horse who really likes to hear his feet rattle. Is he as good as he was last year as a two-year-old? I'm not sure, but I know he has not got the ground that they'll have in Del Mar. And he's 12-1.
I think Cogburn is a single. You know, I mean, I know Brad Sell is a, you know, a really good horse in the European, say he's the best sprinter in Europe and all that. To me, the only way you make money in here, Cochran's going to be 6-5, is to play exotics. And I would definitely use Brad Sell in exotics underneath Cogburn. But one horse I'm going to give you to play in the exotics that I think you should for sure play at 10-1 is the 3-year-old filly Star of Mystery, Godolphin and Charlie Appleby. Go back and watch her race in the Franklin at Keeneland. No place to run throughout much of the stretch. And then finally, like inside the eighth pole, she gets a seam and comes flying at the end, storms past the winner on the gallop out. What a great prep race for Star of Mystery. So I would include her in exotics as well.
Moving on now to the Breeders' Cup Distaff. At one point, this looked like it was going to be one of the most competitive races on the card with Torpedo Anna, Idiomatic, and Dare Manor. Both Dare Manor and Idiomatic have been withdrawn, minor injuries, whatnot. Torpedo Anna now stands alone as the big superstar in the race. I can't find any reason to doubt her. You know, she didn't run a huge number in the Cotillion and only won by a neck, but Tarifa, who finished third, came back to win the Mother Goose. And I just think after the Travers, you know, she was due for a little bit of a backward step into the Cotillion. She runs race that she ran in the Travers where she was beaten ahead by Fierceness and got 111 by her. There's no chance anybody can beat her. So, and she's fun. I like her.
Look, no doubt she's the best horse in the race. The only real question in the race is this. Really, there are two main questions. Number one, the number one overriding question, was the lackluster win in the Cotillion for Torpedo Anna a result of Kenning McPeak under-training her for that race, which he, to his credit, he said going into the race that he that you know she was not going to be totally keyed up for her best effort because it was a prep for the Breeders' Cup? Or was it the result of the tough race that she had in the Travers? If it's the latter, and we've seen a lot of fillies negatively react to strong, strong efforts against the boys, and they don't always bounce back in their second start after that either. If it was that, then she could be vulnerable, I suppose. The only other horse in here that I think would even you would even think about would be the Japanese horse Awesome Result, who's a perfect 7-7. But trying to do some makeshift figs on Awesome Result, I get like maybe mid-90s for Buyer. And I don't think that's typically going to be good enough to beat Torpedo Anna, but that's the only one I think would have a shot.
Ditto. I concur exactly. And as far as Torpedo Anna, honestly, you know, I hope she wins. I really do hope she wins. But she's had a long, hard season. And it's not just the afternoon races for her. She's so damn hard on herself in the morning, in her gallops. You know, I know she's good in the stall. I got that. But it's not like she goes out and has a nice canter around the racetrack. She pulls as much as she can every chance she gets. So she is not easy on herself whatsoever. And that could well be her undoing at the end of what's been a terrific year for her. So if anyone beats her, I'm with you, Randy. It's going to be the Japanese horse, perhaps.
Breeders' Cup Turf up next. You would imagine the Europeans are going to be strong in this one. If Aidan O'Brien has a good day, I'm going to have a good day. I'm going to go with this horse in here, Luxembourg. It's a little bit inconsistent, but if you look back at his Coronation Cup, perfect setup for this. Mile and a half race, grade one, group one, wins by a length. Now, the Thoroughgraph does make figures for these European races. I always wondered how accurate they could possibly be because I think that's – I love Jerry Brown. I think he's trying a little bit too hard. And he's got numbers on the Japanese horses as well. But I certainly trust his U.S. numbers more than that. But then the horse took a backward step. Then the Irish Champion Stakes – 6 beaten 2 1/4 lengths. That's not a bad race. That's a fantastic field. Look who's running against. August Rodin was second in there. Horse by the name of Economics was the winner. If he runs back to his best races, he is a little bit inconsistent, but if he can find his best form for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore, I think I might get one home at a price here.
I have a question for Randy. Is Rebel's Romance and Emily Upjohn as good as they once were? Like the Toby Keith song, can they be good once and be good enough? Or are they are they over the hill? I mean, Rebel's romance has been very well spotted all year, but has he lost a step? And what do you think of Emily Upjohn?
I definitely think Emily Upjohn has lost a step. She's also been giving away weight in some of these races that she's lost over there recently. So she's probably a little better than she looks on paper in some of those, but I do think she has lost a step. I'm not so sure Rebel's Romance has lost much of a step because if you go back and look at his race in Dubai in March in the Dubai Shima Classic, I mean, he was awesome. I mean, I was thinking about picking Shahryar against him in this spot. And then I go back this morning and Bailey and I watched the Dubai Shima Classic and Rebel's Romance got a beautiful trip sitting second, solo second behind the leader. Shahryar was right behind him in a beautiful spot, solo third. And Shahryar ran up to Rebel's Romance at the quarter pole and Rebel's Romance just left him for dead. Just boom, just left him behind. Great turn of foot in that spot. And by the way, Auguste Rodin was about 10 lengths further back, which leads me to believe that the form of last year's Breeders' Cup turf with Auguste Rodin and up to the mark might not be as strong as the year before with Rebel's Romance. So, you know, I'm going to take that exacta. I'm going to take Rebel's Romance over Shahryar.
I'm throwing in Rauschen Park. Just watching him all week long has looked, I don't know how good he is. He's run 4.5s on the Thorograph, Christophe Lemaire, but he just looks so darn good out there. He's got to fit somewhere.
A couple more real quick notes. I know we're up against the clock here. JRB is also not without a shot. The Europeans love him right now. They think he may even be better than Rebel's Romance. So, you know, consider him in your exotics. And to Bill's pick, Luxembourg. How many horses do you see nowadays that win grade one races as 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, and 5-year-olds? That's Luxembourg.
And lead the string. And lead the string for Aidan O'Brien. He looked like the pony out there this morning leading the string around there. I mean, if he hadn't been wearing his saddle towel, you might have said that he could have been the pony. I hate to say it because he looked really good, but he's just a cool old dude.
All right, a cool old dude. I hope my cool old dude gets the winner's circle ahead of his competition. All right, here's the big one, the Breeders' Cup Classic, $7 million. I think this is one of the most fascinating races I have ever seen. I'm not saying it's the best I've ever seen, but when you have so many different factors, so many different unknowns, like the Japanese horses, like City of Troy, how is he going to do on the dirt, et cetera. I think it's – and you have – you know, for instance, Randy's two of Randy's favorite horses are in here, Senior Buscador and Derma Sotogaki. So we're going to be interesting to see what Mr. Moss picks. But I'm going to pick the same horse that Jerry Bailey picked when we had him on a little bit earlier in the show, and that's Arthur's Ride. And here's we're thinking along the same wavelength. His Whitney was really good, as was his allowance race beforehand. 110 Whitney buyer figure, 111 in the allowance race. The allowance race was a -4 on the Thoroughgraph sheets. He's big favorite in the Jockey Club Gold Cup. What happens? He bounced. He bounced off two huge numbers. He only had 1 month in between races. Bill Mott, who's a great trainer, now has all the time in the world to get him ready for this race. And I also think Jerry's right that he's going to be the main speed in here. I'd love to pick next one of my favorite horses. I think he's going to run well. But I think Arthur's Ride is a nice play at 15-1.
Come on, Bill. Bill,
yes.
You've been crying for the last 3 months that Next has to run in the Breeders' Cup Classic. So now you get your shot. He's in here. You going with the other gray horse? Like, come on.
You got a point, Zoe.
I mean, you've been crying for 3 months that he needs to run. You've pushed and you've bullied and you've prodded, and now you're not picking him?
What can I say? No, you got me.
You forced them to run in this race, Bill.
Yeah, I know. Some people have said that, by the way.
Oh, my God. That's terrible.
And then he's abandoning. Poor Next is being abandoned by his number one cheerleader.
Disgraceful.
Who do you like, Zoe?
I wrote it down just in case people were thinking I would be copying Randy. So it's right here, boys. Fierceness. So I just wrote it down. And you know what? I just wasn't onto fierceness. And I watched him all summer long working for XBTV at Saratoga. And I could say, he kind of looked like a 3-year-old filly, wasn't maybe the prettiest of movers someday, but my God, I have never seen him look as good as he looks right now and move as well as he looks right now. It's like there is a completely different fierceness. Maybe that's a bad thing. I don't know. But because he did pretty well before. He looks really good out there. The numbers stack up. There's speed, but it's always usually the speed of the speed that goes on. I trust in Todd Pletcher, so I'm going fierceness. I've loved the look of Forever Young. He finally woke up when they let him breeze along inside of a horse this morning, and he looks really good. His numbers stack up. So Forever Young is right there. People are going to forget about Sierra Leon, who, obviously Chad's been saying he's glad to get him off that track down there. And City of Troy, I'd love to see him win. Maybe he can win without me. I just don't know what to think of City of Troy. It's going to be the most interesting race, I think, I've ever watched, to be perfectly honest. I'm so looking forward to it.
Yeah, I know what to think about City of Troy. Throw him out.
I know. Listen,
I mean,
to you.
Look, if he was 5-1 or 6-1, I'd say, okay, maybe you can, There's enough price built into the risk you're taking, dirt versus turf, that it might be worth it. But
do you really think he's going to be the favorite?
No.
No, me neither.
But
no.
But
I think Granny, then who? Fierceness will be the favorite?
I think so. But I still think City of Troy will be a shorter price than he deserves to be.
Forever Young will take a lot of money.
Yeah. And my exacta is Fierceness and Forever Young. And look, I mean, here I am teasing Bill about abandoning his favorite horse next. but Dermasotagake, thank you, by the way, to Sally Ellen at Country Life Farm for sending me some Dermasotagake swag. But he's off form right now. And I think the same thing could be said for Senor Buscador. I didn't like his last race at all. I think he's a little off form right now. So I can't take either one of those. But I agree with Zoe. What a fantastic race this is. I mean,
a lot of people have been harping over how good Newgate looks. I've not seen him down in the flesh. He worked very well. Blinkers on for Baffert. I'm just throwing that in there. Could you imagine Frankie Dettori taking down the Breeders' Cup Classic? He's drawn on the outside, which, Randy, you're like the expert in this. They're going 1¼. Does the post position really matter at all, going 1¼? I mean, if you've got some kind of speed, if you can't, you've got 1/4 mile to figure it out. If you can't get that done, maybe you should rescind your license.
More or less, I agree with you, Zoe. I mean, in a 14-horse field, if you draw the outside, I think it may be a small disadvantage, but it all depends on the way the race shapes out. If there's enough early speed in there to stretch out the field a little bit by the first turn, there's plenty of room for riders to slot in and drop over and all that, So I don't pay too much attention to post position in the Breeders' Cup. As a matter of fact, what I was concerned about the most about Fierceness was an inside draw. 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, beautiful for Fierceness, I think, to be able to track the speed from the outside, because I think that's the way he wants to run. And I don't disagree with Bill and Jerry about Arthur's Ride. I think he's got a great shot if they leave him alone on the front end. He's run fast enough to win before. What a race. Fantastic.
So disappointed in Bill. So disappointed. You pick the white unicorn over your favorite horse next.
Oh, boy. Well, how much fun are you going to have when next wins and I have to be the guy with egg all over my face next week?
Yeah, I know. If you're looking to bet the Breeders' Cup, XBTV is your place to go. And the TDN Writers' Room is brought to you by XBTV. This week's work of the week is a 2-for-1-er. It's a joint work between Hang the Moon in the black cap here and Gold Phoenix. Now, the pair work 5 furlongs in company in 1 2/5 for trainer Phil D'Amato. Hang the Moon is the contender for the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf after winning the John C. Maybe and Rodeo Drive Stakes, while Gold Phoenix is pointing towards the Breeders' Cup Turf after winning the Del Mar Handicap for the 3rd year in a row. And you might need Gold Phoenix on your ticket. He has never looked so good. As far as Hang the Moon is concerned, apparently she's never that great a workhorse, so we'll have to wait and see.
Be a smarter better with XBEED TV. The best horses. With thousands of exclusive morning workouts. All at your fingertips and delivered right into your inbox. Everything you need to be informed. Be smart. Bet smart with XBEED TV.
All the thrills, fraction of the bills. Experience the power of the partnership. Change your life, make new friends, and compete at the highest level of thoroughbred racing. West Point Thoroughbreds, the gold standard in racing partnerships. Visit westpointtb.com.
Another one of our weekly sponsors here at the TD and Riders Room is West Point Thoroughbreds, and the West Point partners are going to have a great time this weekend here at Del Mar. A, it's paradise. You can't tell it from where I am right now in a corner of a trailer, but it's just gorgeous out there. And they'll have even more fun because they've got a horse like Vava in the Breeders' Cup Filly Mare Sprint, who Zoe and I both picked to win. West Point campaigns Vava with a group of co-owners. Vava trained by Cherie DeVoe, who's having a fantastic season. And Cherie's great season continued with a 1-2 sweep in the Bryan Station Stakes Saturday at Keeneland. She trained the winner, Brilliant Birdie, and also West Point's runner-up in the Bryan Station, Depiction, at 44-1, who missed by just a head. West Point also hit the board this past weekend and picked up Kentucky Derby qualifying points with Sandman, who was third at Churchill Downs in the Street Sense Stakes, of course, for two-year-olds. To visit more, to learn more, www.westpointtb.com.
All right, even though the Classic will have been run, there's still plenty of action left on the Breeders' Cup card. I hope people are going to stick around after the Classic because there are four very good races, and we've got to take a good look at them. Ninth race is the Filly and Mare Turf. I like kind of both Canadian horses trained by Kevin Attard, Full Count Felicia and Mora. The running of the E.P. Taylor was as strange a race as you will see. The jockeys, talk about falling asleep. Full Count Felicia got 14 lengths in front down the backside in 48 half. Usually when those horses get 14 in front, they go 45-2, and they're going to be eased by the time they get to the wire. She went all the way and won it, but I think I'm going to actually take the stablemate Mora, who ran second behind her. First of all, Full Count Felicia is never in a million years going to get 14 lengths in front of this field. And Mora made a nice run to finish second behind her last time out. Her Beverly D was very good, and especially her Diana, which I thought was the best filly and mare field assembled so far this year. She ran well, third in the Breeders' Cup last year. So she's got the ability, just like most of these races, it's going to be a lot of racing luck on a turf race with a big field. So hopefully Flavian Pratt can work out a good trip on Mora, and I'll have a winner.
You've obviously been looking at the sheets, Bill. Well done. You're on the right two for Kevin Attard. Those two ran big numbers. Moira is a very, very, very good filly indeed. And I don't believe that there's really much that's going to run over the top of them. Cinderella's Dreams, good for Appleby, coming in off some good wins at Saratoga. Warlike Goddess has run some monster numbers in the past, and she might just be coming into her best yet at 7 years old, and that could really be a storybook story for the ages. I'm going to go Warlike Goddess. And maybe the three turns in here is going to act in her favor. She comes from off the pace, and she always seems to just come a little bit later. I have a feeling by the time they get around the second turn, she'll be making a move, and she could be much closer. So it's Warlike Goddess for me.
Yeah, I was tossed up between Warlike Goddess and Moira, and I'll land on Bill's pick in Moira. I don't really think the Europeans are as strong in this race as they often are. Content from the Aidan O'Brien camp has been really, she looks like an incredibly difficult horse to ride. She pulls really hard, gets rank in a lot of her races, and suddenly Ryan Moore is not riding content. He's riding Ylang Ylang at 10-1, who looks like, you know, she's probably a third or fourth stringer for Coolmore. I don't know if they thought that maybe Ryan wasn't, you know, handling, they wasn't getting along with content very well or whatever. But normally I would lean toward the Europeans, but here I'll take Moira, who was a great third last year behind Inspiral and Warm Heart in this race, with Warlike Goddess right behind her.
Race 10, Breeders' Cup Sprint. And I, as I looked at this race, first of all, there's going to be a speed meltdown in here. There's so many horses with early speed. But I'm going to change my – I'm going to go in a different direction. I think Federal Judge might be the speed of the speed. And, I mean, he's really, really quick right now, the son of Army Mule. Zero on the Thoroughgraph sheets when he won the Phoenix. And I hope people read my story in Monday's Thoroughbred Daily News. Brad Cox is winning like 70% with stakes horses over the last month. I didn't make that up. He cannot do anything wrong right now. This horse is lightly raced, has not really proven himself at this level. But if he doesn't get into any kind of hellacious speed duel with a couple other horses in here that have speed, like Skelly, Mulligan, and Raging Torrent, I think he can go wire to wire. I'll know a lot better a quarter mile into the race.
Well, look, I don't like Federal Judge, because I think that the track at Keeneland the day he won the Phoenix was incredibly biased towards speed and rail. And that played into his style perfectly. And beyond that, you've got Raging Torrent, who's got to go from the rail, who's really fast. And then you've got Federal Judge, who's really fast. And then you've got Straight No Chaser, who's really fast. And then you've got, I'm sitting here going through my past performances, I'm sure there's Skelly, who might be faster than any of them, breaking from the outside. So I agree with Bill that a pace meltdown is likely here. So two horses I'm going to key on. Nakatomi, first of all, who ran really well in the Breeders' Cup last year, finished third behind Elite Power and Gunite. He's got the right running style, and Wesley Ward is good at getting him to peak at just the right time. And then Mulligan, along with the Japanese horse Remake. That's my trifecta right there. Mulligan, I loved his win in the Forego. My entire life, seemingly, I've been preaching against taking 7-furlong New York horses in the sprint when it's in Southern California. But I do think Mulligan fits very well in here. And, you know, I love a lot of Remakes races as well. Maybe you can clarify a little more, Zoe.
Mulligan for me. He ran a huge number in Saratoga, but he's had ample time to recover. That was on the 24th of August. And then you compare him to Federal Judge, who Pratt just rode on the 4th of October. He ran a -3. Mulligan ran a -2. That's a huge number for him to bounce back from. I agree, he's a good horse, but I'm going where Pratt goes. I'm trusting in Pratt here, so I'm going Mulligan. I'm looking forward to seeing the giant horse Don Frankie run, weighing in at, I think, 1,380 pounds or something. He's an absolute beast. Out of a really small filly called We Miss Frankie that used to be trained by Peter Urton out here in Southern California. Quite amazing, really. Quite amazing.
Two races to go. Race 11 is the Breeders' Cup Mile. And I kind of like a horse in here. It's been one of my better plays of the day. I'll mess up the pronunciation because it's in French and I'm hopelessly lost when it comes to that. But number one, Ramatuel, something like that, whatever it is.
Ramatuel.
So if you look at this horse, the last race is a win with the Prix de la Forêt, which is one of the big great run races at Longchamp for these kind of horses. It was 7 furlongs, but it falls into the same category. She's a 3-year-old filly. And she's already beat older males in the Prix de la Forêt. Here, she gets 6 pounds from most of the horses, the ones that are carrying 126, except for the other horses. There's a couple other fillies and some three-year-olds in here. But that 6 pounds, I think, is when you compare that to some of the horses she's got to face, I think that's going to make a big difference. And I really like this horse. I think she's really going to be tough. Carl Spackler, nothing wrong with him. I'm not sure the 12 post is absolutely the best place to be. He also is very consistent, very fast. But again, I get 6 pounds from Carl Spackler. I'll take it.
Well, you're getting three from Notable Speech, who I think is the best horse in the race because he carries 123. Toss out the soft effort in the Prix de Moulin. That was bottomless that day. Ran a really good fifth to be beaten just 6 1/4 length. Sharon came back to win just last week. So, I mean, it's not often that you see Godolphin send their A number one horses. He's a grade one 2000 guineas winner. He took down the Sussex Stakes in July. It's Notable Speech for me all day long. Carl Spackler is going to have something to say. He's got speed and his last few works have been extremely good. Geolith for the Japanese connections. He's looked excellent training out there and comes in with some good numbers as well. So it's really, really a very good race. Porta Fortuna. I mean, she's right there too.
Yeah. I mean, to me, four horses stand out. Superfecta, I guess. Notable Speech, Porta Fortuna, who beat Rama Tuel in her previous two races before the Prix de Foray. And then Rama Tuel, and then More Than Looks, who I thought probably could have slash should have beaten Carl Spackler in the Turf Mile at Keeneland last time out. And is, you know, trained by Cherie DeVoe, set up to run a big race. But I agree, Notable Speech and Porta Fortuna, the two Europeans, I think look better on paper.
We end the card with the Big Ass Fans Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, which is the last of the Breeders' Cup races, race 12. On the card. Interesting race in here. You can go in a lot of different directions. I know when we talked to Chad Brown a couple of weeks ago, he told us how high he was on domestic product. You should definitely keep that in mind. I'm going to go for another kind of oddball horse in here. Number 12, Mufasa, trained by Ignacio Correas. He's one of the more underrated trainers in the game. Doesn't have a whole lot of horses, but he gets these horses out of South America and does a very good job with them. The horse in his first start over here in June at Churchill Downs didn't show much, but since then looks very good winning at Colonial, looks very good winning the Vosburgh. I know that race usually comes up very light. Gets a zero on the Thoroughgraph sheets in the Vosburgh, so he's already fast and heading in the right direction. And then I saw that the horse was 4 for 4 at a mile. Those were all obviously in Chile, but the mile distance certainly is going to be to his liking after running 7 furlongs, 7 furlongs and 6.5 earlier. I think this horse has a good shot. Tyler Gaffleon aboard.
So, look, Saudi Crown has got to go from post one, and he's so fast that in Saudi Arabia, he beat National Treasure to the early lead when they ran against each other. T.O. St. Denis can fly early. Full Serrano, exceptionally fast early. Tumbarumba, always close to the pace. I don't know if he's quite as fast as the other ones, but he's got a lot of speed. We know Muth has got speed and likes to be up close. Mufasa has been up close sprinting, 44 and change, two races back. Pipeline is on the lead in almost all of his races. Skippy Longstocking likes to be. This is going to be a pace meltdown. To me, I think it's easy. I think domestic product sits back, and I think the race falls in his lap. And I think he's the best horse anyway. So it's a single for me, domestic product.
I concur. I forgot I should have written it down so that people don't think I'm copying. domestic product for me, if you can get 7 to 2 on him right now, go ahead and get it. I'll take it. Randy, will you give me 7 to 2 on domestic product?
I already owe you a bottle of wine. I will not give you 7 to 2 on domestic product.
definitely him. I don't like Saudi Crown. I didn't love his last work coming in here. He's gets surreal. He's got one way to go. Post times look really good. Hasn't beat anything up there at Laurel, but has worked very well and comes in with some massive numbers. So he could be knocking on the door. In this week's Breeders' Cup Connections, our own Katie Petruniak talks to Brad Cox's assistant, Katie Talbot, the regular rider of Highland Falls, who heads to the Breeders' Cup on Saturday.
It's fun just to be in the barn and just to see them grow and learn and be successful. It's the only reason I do it. I mean, there are plenty of jobs where you can make more money or have a better schedule or whatever, but it's the only thing I want to do.
That is a wrap on this week's show, our Breeders' Cup Handicapping Edition. Thank you to Jerry Bailey for joining us as our guest of the week. Thanks to my partners, Zoe Cabin and Randy Moss. And especially thanks to our staff, works behind the scenes and does such a great job, our producers and editors, Katie Petruniak, Anthony LaRocca, and Leah LaRocca. Have a great Breeders' Cup weekend, everybody. We'll see you next week.